Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to have you all at the house of the Lord today. Glory. Praise the King. Wow. This is the way I love to see people welcome each other. Praise the King. You'd think a bunch around here was a bunch of Christians or something, you know, the way you all love each other. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord told us to do, wasn't it, Steve? Yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, goodness. If all of us would only put Jesus first. Oh, my goodness, what he would do for us. He's such a mighty God. Well, we welcome all of you here today. Praise the Lord. We've had a great week this week. The weather's been beautiful. You know, Cheryl and I got to take a little trip. We've had a couple little trips this week, and one on Tuesday, we had a good time. We went somewhere with Eldon and Nancy. We had a good time, spent the day, and got back home a couple hours after dark, and we had a great time. Of course, we flew where we went. Of course, when we come back, it was dark, and it was beautiful flying over Dallas. You know, man, it was just beautiful, and it really was something. And, of course, Thursday, we got the privilege to fly down to my sister's house. She lived down close to Brownwood, the other side of Brownwood, and it's about a 2.5 to 3 hour drive down there, and it takes 40 minutes to fly down there. So it's a whole lot different. We loved it, but we did have a little experience Thursday that I wouldn't want to relive. You know, we got to my sister's house. She lives out in the country, and just as we got there, there was cars all over the highway out in front of her house. I thought, well, this don't look good. And so we jumped out, and my sister said, there's been a wreck. And, of course, as I looked, I saw cars scattered up and down the highway and parts and pieces and everything all over the place. So Cheryl and I jumped and run down to the first car, and the little girl was laying there. And she's kind of half out of the car and laying on the ground and everything else, and her left leg don't look good at all, and she is in some kind of pain. And so Cheryl kneels down right on the asphalt right in front of her and lays her hands on her head and starts asking the Lord to take away her pain. And the Lord did. And the girl was blessed. Whatever you do, don't stop. It feels so good. Praise the Lord. So it's wonderful to see praying people, you know. And so we both prayed for her for a few minutes. And then I told Cheryl, I said, honey, you stay here and just keep praying for her. And I'm going to go down to the other car, which is about 100 yards down the road. And I went down there, and, of course, when I got down there and I looked at the car and the left front of the car, of course, they had this girl was coming this way and these people were coming this way, and it was about 5 cars stopped in this left lane to turn left, and she didn't see them stopped. And so she's driving, I guess, 70 miles an hour when she realizes they're stopped. And so when she hit the brakes, it veered out into the left lane, and she hit the other car about a foot in on each car, at both of them driving about 70, it looked like. And on the car that was going south, it knocked the entire left wheel, fender, I mean the tire, everything was gone 150 yards down the highway. Sheared the whole thing off, and the car was all caved in, and the poor lady had blood all over her. It looked awful, and so immediately I started praying for her, and then she had her mother in the car with her, and she wasn't too good. So anyway, I thought, well, there's not any way I can get her out. There's no way, you know, that you could get her out of the car. The car's all mashed in around her. And so about that time, from Goldthwaite, the little emergency crew, of course, my sister had called 911, and they sent some people up there. When they got there, he said, call back the whatever crew it was, said, tell them we got to have the equipment. I had never seen this done, but in about 10 minutes they was there. Oh, boy, I mean, they really got there. And they had some kind of big air-operated deals that they stuck in, and, man, it pressed this thing apart. And then another guy had a great big old pair of scissor things, you know, big air hydraulic operated. He cut the door off that thing, began to cut that car off around her and throw away pieces. And they finally got the woman out of the car. And when they got her out and laid her on the ground, Cheryl walked up about that time. And she said, honey, look at her left leg. I mean, from right above her ankle on the front side of her leg, going up the front of her leg and over around the calf, as far as you could see underneath, there was no skin. It was like ground hamburger meat. I mean, her leg was pulverized. Wow, boy. Now then, when you see something like that, it's real easy to jump up and say, praise God. Lord, I'm still walking. Lord, I can still do this. I mean, you know, you just don't realize how easy it is to praise Him when you see something like that. But, you know, we prayed for that woman. We prayed for those people. We stayed there. We helped. We did all kinds of things. A couple of ambulances come, and they loaded the little girl that Cheryl was praying over into the ambulance. And then a helicopter showed up, and he landed right in the middle of the highway. The guys had blocked off the road, and cars were stopped way both ways, and they landed a helicopter there. And the guy said the woman in the car was so excessively overweight, he said, I can't fly her out. I have too much fuel. So he said, I'll have to fly around a few minutes and burn a little fuel off. And so he took off to do that, and they called for another one, and a big four-bladed helicopter come. And when he saw him coming, well, he came back, and he landed, and he said, well, I can haul the little girl, the young woman, and this big one can take the older woman, or the heavier woman. And so several men picked her up and loaded her up into the helicopter, and that helicopter took off from Goldthwaite to Temple. And the other girl, they took off and flew to Abilene. And then the other woman that was in the car, they drove her to Brownwood in an ambulance. I thought, Lord, 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 what a way to have Thanksgiving. You know, it's amazing how I know for a fact that when the little girl's young girl, the 26-year-old girl's parents got there, they had already taken her to Abilene. When they pulled up there, we met them and talked to them and told her that, you know, she was okay, but, you know, she was hurt pretty bad, and her left leg looked like it was broken. You know, I mean, it looked pretty bad, but not near as bad as the other lady. But that girl was going to Banks, which she had come from Waco. She was only 30 minutes from where she was going. But the other couple of ladies were going from Plano to to Mullet. They were less than 1 mile from the house they were going to when they had the wreck. Less than 1 mile. And I thought, you know, you don't ever know, do you? You'd be driving down the road, and you think, well, we got this made. I mean, there's Mullen right there. They come over the hill, and there's Mullen right there. You can see it a half a mile, three-quarters of a mile down the road. And all of a sudden, whoosh, bam, head on, and tore all to pieces. I mean, both those cars were totally destroyed. Ain't no way you could fix either one of them. And, of course, the people that were in them, you know, were kind of tore up, too. You know, so that kind of flashed me back when I saw the situation. I thought, I can only imagine what it looked like the day that my wife and daughter ran into that truck head on. They were far, far worse shape than those two girls because they were killed. They were dead. You think, you know, you don't never know, do you? You don't ever know. You know, so there's one thing that's important. You know what that is? Make sure you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and you get taken off, you know, man, I can only imagine going into eternity without Jesus. No, I really can't imagine that. I've never experienced that. But when Cheryl and I was watching that little video here a while back about that young man, Weiss, I believe his name was. Wasn't it Weiss or Wise or something like that? That little guy from Kansas City that had died and went to hell for Weiss. I mean, here's this young man. God took him. He was lost, and God took him to hell. He didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. About 20-something years old, wasn't he? 23 or 24, something like that, when this happened. And here's this young man. You know, I mean, who needs Jesus? You know, I'm okay. I'm 23 years old. You know, I'm out having fun and doing things. Who needs Jesus? I want to have fun. I want to sow my wild oats. Whatever. And all of a sudden, something happened, and he wound up in hell. And when he wound up in hell, he said, this awful place stunk worse than any place I'd ever seen in my life. And said, the first thing happened, they put me in a prison with bars all around it. And said, all of a sudden, a huge thing, 14 feet tall, walked in and reached down and grabbed me by the arm with them big old long hands and claws, which felt like it's ripping my arm off, and slung me against the wall. And when I hit the wall, it's like it broke every bone in my body. And I thought, this can't go on. I mean, but he said he walked right over and picked me up and did it again. Just ripping me apart. Just think, that's only the first few seconds. It's going to be like that forever. So when people say, you know, you're an idiot for going out and talking to people about Jesus everywhere you go. No. I know what their judgment's going to be if I don't talk to, or if you don't talk to them about Jesus. I don't care what they do to me on this earth. I don't care how they talk about me on this earth. I don't care how bad they want to talk, say that crazy holy guy, you know, that crazy stupid guy, all he ever talks about is Jesus. I'd rather be known like that than to be one that they say, you didn't say nothing to me. And there I'm on this side in judgment, and I'm fixing to be cast into hell, and you knew me, and you didn't tell me. See, I don't want that. I don't want that. I can't imagine anybody going to this place. I mean, when you see the devastation that happens on this earth to human beings. I mean, when I saw those two women, you know, especially that older one, you know, with that left leg tore all to pieces, I thought, you know, that's nothing. I mean, to me, I mean, that was awful. But compared to what it could have been, that's nothing. You know, over in Vietnam, you know, a hand grenade would go off somewhere and the guy get blowed all to pieces and all these intestines are hanging out and everything else. And somebody comes up and he says, go ahead and kill me. Kill me. No, I can't kill you. I can't do that. They're hurting so bad they want to die. I mean, some of us people here in America, we've been so, I mean, when I was over there in Vietnam and all this nonsense was going on and guys were getting killed every day, you know, and it's going on now over in the middle, over in the Gulf and all that stuff. And here we are sitting here at home. You know, we never even think about these guys. Most of the time we don't ever pray for them or nothing. We have no idea what these men are going through and the devastation that they see every day. Wow. But somebody's got to do it. And a lot of those men died. A lot of them got tore all to pieces, but they didn't die. But you can not only see that kind of stuff in a war zone, you can see it right here at home. I know Cheryl and I got to see a little bit of it Thursday, just in a car wreck. And, of course, Kathy, when we got home Thursday night, we were waiting on Kathy to show up, and it was the middle of the afternoon before she finally got here. And Cheryl said, we better pray for her. Something could have happened to her. So we prayed, you know, and asked the Lord to watch over, protect her, and bring her home safe. Well, it wasn't long after we prayed, just a few minutes, she drove in. And I said, what happened to you? She said, there was wreck after wreck after wreck. She had went down to East Texas, 3-hour drive, and she said there was numerous wrecks on the way home. So she said, one place you stopped for a half hour. Of course, I thought about the Goldsway deal. They would stop for a half hour, guarantee. Maybe it was an hour, 45 minutes. No traffic went by. I mean, the cars were everywhere. It was a bad deal. And that was on Thanksgiving. And, you know, some of us as Christians probably didn't even thank God. You know, there's probably a lot of Christians that didn't even thank Him for Thursday. You know, they sat down at a beautiful meal that maybe their wife had fixed or their children or something, whatever, and didn't even say thank you, Lord. Well, let me tell you, we need to get in the habit of praising and worshiping our King. You know that? He is worthy, and if we worship Him and praise Him, things are going to be good. If we don't, they're not going to be. Now then, I've had a lot of people ask me a lot of questions in the last few months. They need a financial blessing. It's amazing how many people have come up here and asked me for a financial blessing. So I've decided today to tell you how to not have to have nobody pray for you for a financial blessing. Now, I will have to say the Scripture is, I'm not even going to touch by no means all of what the Scripture says about what you're supposed to do about how to walk in prosperity. But, you know, some people really get hung up on this deal about prosperity. And some people, that's all they preach is prosperity. And that's okay, I guess, if that's what God has called them to do. If God has called a ministry to be a prosperity gospel, there's not anything wrong with that because the Word of God is full of prosperity. Amen. Isn't it? Amen. some of the greatest, most powerful, richest men ever were God's men. So, you know, every time I think about how we have been lied to, I think about one time when Cheryl, we were going to go somewhere, and I was out getting the airplane out at the airport, and it was cold that day, and so she come out with her full-length mink coat on. Now, see, nobody knows that she got that thing off of eBay for $29, see? So when they see her, they think, wow, look at that guy. He's married to a girl, and he's rich. He's bought her a full-length mink coat. That thing must have cost $10,000. Well, see, what they don't know don't hurt them, right? They don't know that full-length mink coat cost us $29, postage and all. Now, that's God, isn't it? See, now, God can bless us. We don't have to be rich to be blessed. But also, I was getting the 421 out, a great big beautiful twin-engine airplane, again, which God had provided and paid for, and we're getting ready to go somewhere, and some guy walks out there flying a little bitty Cub, and I walk up to him, and I said, son, are you a Christian? He was taken back. He said, well, yeah, I am. Are you a Christian? I said, well, of course I am. He said, you got a wife wearing a coat like that, and you're flying an airplane like that, and you're a Christian? I said, of course. I said, the God I serve is a prosperous God. I said, he's got all the money in the world. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, I thought you had to be poor to be a Christian. I said, you must be one of the old-time Pentecostals. He said, well, that's what they've taught me. I said, well, you need to read the book for yourself. Because God is not a poor God, is he? And he doesn't want you and me to be poor. Now, we'll have to say, many people in the church don't know what he says because we don't read it. But I want us to start out today with John 10:10 in the King James Bible. Now, John 10:10, I want you to see, some of you know what that scripture says, but I guess we're going to have the scripture on the board here. Phil's up there, I'm sure. Here it is right here. John 10:10, the King James, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, who is that beast? That's the devil. The devil, he wants to take away everything. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. Now, anytime you see anything that's stealing, killing, or destroying, who's in control of it? Satan, of course. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, see, that's what our King came to give you and me. He gave us all these things. In fact, yesterday, Scott and Kim came out to wrap packages. And, of course, Kim and the kids and all, they were wrapping packages. And Scott and I was outside working on some stuff. And as we were, when we came in to have something to eat last night, Kim had fixed us some soup and spaghetti and all kinds of stuff. And we come in to sit down to eat. And she said, you know, we came to this ministry and we heard you talking about things that we had never heard about in church. Never. And so she said we would take notes, and then we'd go home and we'd compare notes with what you said in the scriptures. And she said, honey, this is in the Bible. Why don't we ever hear this? But Scott says, well, once we heard it and believed it and started acting, he said, us under the children don't ever get sick no more. Isn't that wonderful? That's a good thing. But see, if you don't know what's available, Jesus came to bear your sin and to take your pain so you don't have to be sick anymore. He bore that too, but almost nobody knows it. He came to take away your sin, but almost nobody knows that either. It's like they read it, but it doesn't register. And so, but anyway, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, which one of those two places do you want to live? I think that's pretty obvious.
The Lord spoke to me and he says, give that young man the bill that is in your wallet. And I thought I had a $5 bill in my wallet. Now, I had some $20 bills in there, too, over in another section, but I knew he was talking about that one single bill. Isn't that amazing how we know those things?
Yes, it is.
So I went around and looked at follow-up, and he was sitting around on the side of the building, and I went over and told him that the Lord had told me to give him this bill, and I opened my wallet, pulled out that $5 bill, and you know that $5 bill happened to turn out to be a $10 bill? But I gave it to him anyway. And went on my way, and just praise God that the Lord had given me this opportunity to help that young man out. And the next day, I had a tour down to Fort Worth for a family that was having some kind of a big party, the birthday party of some sort. They went down to Billy Bob's. And when I got back, as they got out of the bus, the gentleman reached in his pocket and pulled out a wad of bills and handed them to me as a tip. And when I got home and counted them, it was $112.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Now, about two nights or three nights later, pulled into the same service station to fill up with fuel, and there was that same young man again. And he wanted to wash my windows again. And I told him they didn't need washed. I went in and paid my bill. But when I came back out, now this time I had, a couple of fives and one or two tens plus some 20s in my wallet. And when I came back out here, I saw him still around there. And I said, well, here, let me help you out again. So he said, this time I selected and gave him a $5 bill. And the last time, you know, the Lord gave him 10. But this time I gave him a $5 bill. And the next day, I took a tour out, and when they gave me a tip when I got back, and I don't always get these tips either, but the next day I got this tip, $56. Everybody get that hand?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Praise the Lord. Now, that's true. God, he's there. Are we getting anywhere close to...
I think he's got a problem.
Huh?
I think he's got a problem. You just need to preach.
Another couple of minutes? Oh, okay. Yeah. We've got to get everything back on. Praise the Lord. And when we lose power like this, it just everything changes. So we just have to do whatever we have to do. But that's no big deal. I'm not in a hurry. Yes, Gene? Just a minute, so everybody can hear you. Let me give you a mic. Hold it up close to your mouth. So.
When I was saying my prayers last night, I was asking God to help us. Because we have to help our great-grandkids, and they both work. And they needed some money for her school. For the baby is $650 a month. And we told her we'd help her out as much as we could. So we did give her, I think, $500 altogether. But I didn't know if it was all right to ask God if we could ask him or not. So I took it back because I didn't take the money back. I took back the prayer because I didn't think it was right for me to ask.
So I don't think it's right for you to ask God for what?
Money.
For money? If you can't ask your dad for things, I mean, you know, you can always ask your dad. I mean, you know, look at God like your dad. You know, I mean, can you imagine one of these little ones around here, this little girl sitting here in Mama's lap, can you imagine her saying, well, Mom, I don't believe I could ask you for dinner tonight. No, you can ask him. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now then, let's think about that a minute from a logical standpoint. Let's say I'm going to go out here in my garden spot this year, and I'm going to plow it all up real good, like we did, and then I don't put no seed in the ground. What kind of a good garden do you think I'm going to raise? Steve's over here shaking his head. You ain't going to get one. Now that we planted, I say we, mostly it was Dave. But Dave planted some lady here gave us, some sweetheart gave us a bunch of onions. I know who it was, yeah. I know who it was. A sweetheart. She's here today. She gave us a whole bunch of onion deals, and we planted them all. Well, now, let me tell you, we've got onions all over the place out there. I mean, you know, we planted lots of them, and the onions are coming up all over the place. And we've been eating onions and everything else. And it's amazing that you got to plant seed. you know, to get things to grow. It just, people just don't see this. But this is a whole lot deeper than what you really realize on the surface. When it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now verse 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now see, somebody says, well, you know, maybe that would be showing favoritism. Well, the Word of God tells us we're supposed to show a little bit of favor if you're your brother or sister in Christ. You're to show them special favor. Is that right? I mean, that's what he says. I mean, so are we supposed to take care of each other in the body of Christ? If you have a need, are you supposed to help somebody? Yes. Now then, what if it's not your brother in Christ? Can you go help them too? Of course you can. But whenever it's your brother or sister in Christ, God, it's like he gives you a special blessing to help a brother or sister in Christ. So, I mean, you just take the Word of God and do what it says. Do not grow weary in well-doing. You know, I mean, don't grow weary in working. I mean, I think about Scott coming out here yesterday. I mean, he come out here. I was putting an auger together to put that grain in the silo back here. And, man, he got out there and helped me. We put the chain horse on that thing, picked it up there, and we sat there and shoveled that wheat to that auger and everything. We put every bit of that in there, and it took us about 2 hours. And we had to shovel it to the auger and everything. But, I mean, man, we got it all in there. But we had to finish about the last 15 minutes with my little tiny flashlight so we didn't get my hand in the auger. That little bitty tiny flashlight did the job, didn't it? Yeah, we got that done. But now, he was not weary in doing good. He was helping me. Now, I will have to say this morning when I woke up, I was a little stiff in a few places. You know, I mean, it's amazing how climbing up and down those things and picking up all those heavy weights and everything else, you can get a little out of shape. You know, so, but he says, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we're supposed to help each other. Now let's go to Proverbs 13:4. And I want to read Proverbs 13:4 in the NLT. Proverbs 13:4 in the NLT. Now this is something that some people don't like. Lazy people want much, but they get little. But those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. Now, you know, you can't, if you're having trouble meeting your needs, you say, but I'm working an 8-hour day every day and I still can't make it. Well, work a 12-hour day then. Or a 14-hour day. I mean, is there anything wrong with that? Not anything wrong with working. I mean, I remember when I went to school. Whenever I decided after I got back from Vietnam, I'd go back and learn some more things about this world that I needed, and I went to school. But I had to work. I carried an 8-hour-a-day job, and I went to class 6 hours a day. Now, that's 14 hours. That don't include travel time back and forth between school and work. That don't include getting to there in the morning. That don't include studying, eating, and sleeping. That's already 14 hours every day, I know. I did that for over 2 years, carried an extremely good grade in school. But let me tell you, I studied, I worked, but I appreciated it when I got it. Amen. You know, I had to work for that. Now then, I could have said, well, I ain't going to do that, you know. I'm going to let somebody else pay my way. I could have said, well, I'm going to work 8 hours, but I'm only going to go to school 2 hours a day. Well, I could have drug that out for the rest of my life, you know, and never got anywhere. It don't hurt you to work. You know, it's not going to kill you to work. You may think it's going to at first, but after you work a little while, you'll find out that, hey, you might be amazed. In fact, I don't ever think about putting in less than a 12 or 14-hour day. You know, I never have done that. You know, I get up in the morning and I go all day. You know, I mean, yesterday morning I got up, I think, at 8 o'clock or whatever, and somewhere around there, 7:30, whatever it was. But I didn't go to bed until 1 o'clock this morning. You know, and I was up again at 7:45 this morning. You know, I was in there studying the Word. I've been in there, you know, so, hey, there's nothing wrong with working. But lazy people, they want a lot of things, but they don't usually get much, do they? You got to work if you want something. That's the way God made the system. You know, so there's too many people today that want somebody else to give them something. And, of course, you know, when we started the welfare program, we ruined a lot of people in America. Because we if you don't know it, we got a lot of people in this world that are just lazy. They don't want to work. And they'll tell you they don't want to work. They think the government owes them a living. Well, let me tell you, where do you think the government gets that money? From those that work. And they give it to those that won't work. Well, the Word of God says if you're not willing to work, you don't eat. So you let them go hungry. You know, if they want to work, hey. But anyway, if you want to be prosperous, you're going to have to learn how to work. Now then, let's go to Malachi 3, 7 through 12 in the King James. Malachi 3, 7 through 12. And we'll show you one of the ways that God says that why so many people are not blessed. Now, in all my years in the church, I've been on the counting committees, I've been a deacon, I've been all kinds of things. I don't think I've ever been in a church had more than 30 or 35% of the people that were tithers. As a rule, people don't tithe. They just don't believe you have to. And, of course, those that don't tithe are the ones that's not blessed. Those that do tithe are the ones that are blessed. But in Malachi 3, 7, it says, ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned. Let's see, I was going to put that into King James. Can you do that? Oh, let's read it in that one where you already got it up there. Let's read it there. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my laws and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? See, they don't understand. Should people cheat God? Do you like somebody cheating you? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you, God? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. Wow, let's go to 9 and 10. See what's going to happen. You are cursed with a curse. Now, this is the only place in God's Word I've ever seen where God says He will curse you with a curse. Now, a lot of places He says, I'll curse you if you sin. But only when you steal from Him does He say, I will curse you with a curse. Wow. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, how many of you would like to be blessed with a blessing so much that you wouldn't have room to put it, hold it up? I mean, wouldn't that be something? Everybody wants that, but they're not willing to believe God. I mean, I think about a minister that I know, and when this guy started in his ministry a few years ago, he thought all the money that came into his ministry, he would use it for the ministry and for the glory of God, so they would not be a need to tithe off of what came in to somebody else. And so he was definitely about the Lord's work. You know, and he was spending all the money doing, you know, helping people, doing things and everything, but he was not tithing. And then they get down in this ministry, they get down to where they can't pay their bills. So he gets on his face before God. He's out of town speaking. He gets on his face before God in his hotel room and says, Lord, I don't know what we're doing wrong, but you ought to be paying your bills. This is not my ministry. This is your ministry. And Lord, I don't have enough money to bank to pay the bills we got right now. So Lord, I got to know what's causing this problem. He walks out of the room and walks over to get on the elevator, and a guy walks up to him and says, hey, aren't you Pastor so-and-so? He said, yes. He said, by the way, where are you tithing off your ministry? He said, I thought to myself, well, it really ain't none of his business where I'm tithing. I don't know who this guy is. He just walked out of nowhere. And so he said, we told him something, but he gets down, walks out to the hotel, and there's a car there to take him to church. And just as he opens the door to get in the car, a guy walks and says, hey, aren't you Pastor so-and-so? I see you on TV. Well, yes. He said, by the way, where are you tithing off your ministry? He thought, what happened? The audacity of all these people asking me where I'm tithing. He said, I'm not tithing. I'm giving everything away. So he gets back to his board after he gets home. He says, how much money do we owe? And they told him how much he owed. He said, how much money we got in the bank? They said, less than $1,000. Well, that won't even start to pay all these bills. He said, are we tithing to anybody off of this ministry? And his board told him, no, we're using it all for the glory of God. He said, well, obviously, we're not doing it right. He said, I want to take all the money we have left, whatever it is, just a little less than $1,000. I want you to find some ministry that definitely is producing good fruit for the kingdom of God. Don't just pick anyone. Pick one that's doing something, that's saving souls, getting people healed. But find one out there and write them a check for the whole amount and send it to them. And they said, but what are we going to do? He said, all I know is we got to tithe. And we haven't tithed, so we're just going to give it all away. And so he said they wrote a check. And they found a ministry, and they sent it to another ministry that was a good ministry. And the man told me a few years later, he said, I want you to know from that day when I did that, from that day to this, this ministry has never had a need for money again. Never. He said, God has paid all of our bills. Isn't that amazing that his word really works? Isn't that something? That God, see, we fail to realize who's in charge. We think we're in charge. But how many of the tithes and offerings did he tell to bring to your storehouse? All of them. Somebody said, well, what's a tithe? That's 10% off of your gross or your net. If you're in business and you can't take your gross income. Now, some people do. Some people take their gross income, whatever they have coming in, and they tithe off of their full gross. Well, some people tithe off of their net. Because if you had a business and you were, say you had a plumbing business, and you were buying $100,000 a month worth of parts, materials, and your gross income was $150,000, and you took the $150,000 gross in and you took that off, $15,000 off of that, you know, it would be might be hard to make your bills. You know, but you can't ever tell. You know, who knows? God might just bless your socks off. You don't know how he's going to do it. But however he convicts you, that's the way you need to do it. So I started tithing years and years and years ago. Now then, when I started tithing, I didn't just tithe. I gave more than a tithe. And at first I thought, you know, there ain't no way. In fact, I heard another good pastor the other day. Everybody knows John Hagee. And I heard John Hagee say here a few months ago, I don't get to listen to him hardly ever, but because I'm always too busy. But I used to listen to him a lot, and this is several years ago. He said a guy come in one time and said, Brother Hagee, will you pray for me that I'll be able to make enough money so I can pay all my expenses? He said, sure, I will pray for you, and you will, you know, but said you got to tithe. And so he prayed, and the guy's business increased, and he started tithing. And he said about a couple of years later, the guy came in and said, Brother Hagee, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, my tithe is so big, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need you to pray for me. He said, well, I'll tell you what I can do. I will pray. I don't know why in the world. Huh? I don't know why in the world he says that that if you feel like you can't meet your tithe, I'll tell you what I can do. I can go back and ask God to take your resources back to what they were when you could pay your tithe 2 years ago. He said, no, 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 I don't want that to happen. Now, see, why was he being blessed so? Because he had been prayed for, and he continued to tithe. But now that his business is getting up where instead of tithing $100 a week, now he's given $1,000 or $2,000 a week. That looks like too much money to give God. But he's got all this abundance left over. Are we dummies? Yes, we're dummies, you know. We ought to think, oh, God, Lord, instead of giving you $2,000 this week, Lord, if I made $20,000 this week, let me give you $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 of it, Lord. You know.
That verse right before you, that verse 8, it says that they were cheating God of the offerings in addition to the tithe.
Oh, yeah. And offerings, tithes and offerings. That's absolutely right. So we need to give. Now then, let's go from here. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 20. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 30, and we'll start with verse 1. And I'll show you something that God set out here, and I'll show you where, and of course I've taught on this many times in the healing school, but this works not only for healing, but it works for financial blessing or being prosperous also. Deuteronomy 30, and it shall come to pass. Now, don't you love that when God puts that in His Word? Now, it shall come to pass. Now, sometimes you might not like that. He says, if you sin, it shall come to pass. I'm going to afflict you with sickness and disease. Now, you don't like that, but that's what He says, isn't it? There's times He says, it shall come to pass. If you don't do what I say, I will afflict you because of your sin. I will make you, or even like the book of Revelation, I was reading that this morning. He said, because of your sins, I'm going to cast you into a sick bed. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? I don't want to be cast into a sick bed. Do you? No. But it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And you shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey His voice according to all that I command you this day, that thy children and all your heart and with all your soul. Now, is there some requirements here? Yes, you're going to have to obey Him. And verse 3 says that when the Lord thy God will turn your captivity and have compassion upon you and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God has scattered thee, if any of thine be driven out into the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will He fetch thee. So He's going to bring them all back in, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Now, this is going to come to pass. And the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, your children, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that thou mayest live. Now, see, if you want your children to be blessed, when you're young and having those children, you need to teach them about God. If you teach them about God, teach them how to walk in the Word, He says He will circumcise your children's heart so your children will want to serve Him. Now, if you don't serve Him, chances are your children are not going to serve Him. It's rare that if you take a daddy and a mother that don't go to church when they're raising their children, it's rare that those children will ever serve God. Now, what a problem that we don't know these things. If we knew them, we would put God first. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments which I command you this day. 9 and 10. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous. Now, do you like that? Who's going to make you plenteous? The Lord. If you obey Him, the Lord thy God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of the land for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as He rejoiced over thy father. Now then, if you obey God in everything, how much praying do you have to do for prosperity? None. It just comes. But you got to obey Him. Now, if you obey Him and praise Him and worship Him, He will bless you and bless you and your children. And everything you put your hands to is going to be blessed. Now, He said, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with how much of your heart? Oh, all. Now, you can't put Him on the back burner and come to church on Sunday and do what you want to do the rest of the week. Is that right? Well, you can't do that. You got to turn to Him with all your heart. Every morning when you wake up, you got to be praising and worshiping God, thanking Him, praising Him for who He is, and with all your heart and with all thy soul. Verse 11 and 12. For this commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it, and do it. Verse 13 and 14. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it? But the word is very nigh unto thee. It is in your mouth and in your heart that thou mayest do it. Now, all these promises that God made is right here. Right here. They're in our mouth and our heart. I mean, your prosperity is in your mouth and your heart. Your salvation is in your mouth and in your heart. Your healing is in your mouth and in your heart. It's close. All you got to do is confess it. See, when we come to this magnificent promise that God gave us in Mark 11:23, it wasn't new. When Mark 11:23 under the new covenant says, whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe with your heart, you can have it. The average Christian does not in no wise believe that. How can you tell they don't believe it? Well, if something happens, oh my, you ought to hear us Christians talk. Oh my goodness, I don't know if I don't get a check this week, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. If I were to get laid off at work, I would not be able to meet my house payments. All this negative junk going on. That should never be in the mouth of a Christian. Should it? No. It says there, but the word is very nigh unto you. It is in your mouth and your heart that thou mayest do it. Verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and good. Now, who set this? God did. God says, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. Now, if we obey him, how many times did he say we had to pray for blessing? He just said he'll do it, didn't he? It's just an automatic thing with God if we put him first. But he said, if thine heart turn away, so you will not hear, but should be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. Now that's scary, isn't it? I mean, it says we shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you pass us over it, over Jordan, to go to possess it. Now then, you didn't have to pray about any of this. This is just a rule from God that if we obey him, we'll be blessed. If we don't obey him, we'll be cursed. And our life will not be long. And so you'll have sickness and disease. You'll have poverty. I mean, you will not have... be able to have your needs met. Now then, if you're really a Christian, and I'm assuming that everybody in this room are really Christians, that you really know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, for you in here that know Jesus and you're obeying him, if you are obeying him fully and doing what he says, he promises in this word to prosper us and bless us. It shall come to pass. Don't you like that? But he also said, and it shall come to pass if you don't, then I will do these things for you. You shall surely perish. So you wonder what happens to people. You wonder why this man, I mean, he's 40 years old and he looks like he's in a perfect picture of health, and you go out to Thanksgiving this weekend and you come back to work Friday and John didn't come back to work. What happened to John? He died with a heart attack at his mother's house on Thanksgiving Day. 40 years old. Wow. Obviously, he wasn't doing what God said, right? If he was doing what God says, his life would have been long. Do you consider 40 years old a long life? I don't. I don't at all. But he says, if this day that if you should... if you do not obey me, you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land. Your days are going to be short if you don't obey me. Verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I, God, have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life, that both thou and your seed may live. Now, isn't that amazing that God gave you and me the privilege to make a choice? Am I going to be prosperous? You know what most people say? You ask a Christian, a young Christian or something, are you believe you're going to be prosperous? Well, who knows that? I don't know that. You know, I hope I'm going to be prosperous. No, it is in your mouth. If you say, yes, I'm a son of God, I'm going to walk in obedience to His Word. I study this book every day. And God said in His Word, it shall come to pass that if I serve Him and love Him and put Him first, He's going to bless my socks off. You know, I'm going to prosper. Well, boy, you're an arrogant little critter. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Now, if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, it's ours, and there's not anything wrong with being blessed. I mean, that's just like I keep going back to Cheryl's mink coat. I mean, you know, I could have probably never had faith to believe I could have paid $10,000 for that coat. But for $29, I could have faith for that real easy. That $29.50, okay, I was off 50 cents. Yeah, she said that she paid for it. Oh, okay. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? She says she paid for it. Okay. She pays for it. Okay. I'll remind her next time when she pays her credit card. Where's that come from? Oh, my goodness gracious. My rich wife. One thing I told everybody, I said, if I ever get married, one of the requirements is the wife I marry, she's going to have to be filthy rich. Well, let me tell you, she's filthy rich in personality, you know. But money she didn't have. But praise the Lord. But in verse 20, it says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is your life. And the length of your days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now then, who is your provider in life for money as well as life? God. Everybody on this earth, whether they know God or don't know God, are living in obedience to this word. This is the owner's manual for life, and whether you know Him, you don't believe Him, it makes no difference to God. You can say, I don't believe the Bible. I ain't going to church. I'm not going to do none of them things. I'm going to do what I want to do in life. Okay. You're called wicked, and it shall come to pass. You will have a medical history. You'll be amazed at how much problem you have in hospitals and everything else. I think about this young man that came to church one time. He came up and told me, he said, Pastor, when I was a young man, about 25 years old, God audibly spoke to me the first time I'd heard He's ever heard His voice. Said, he called my name and said, I want you to be one of my preachers. He said, when I heard that, I said, God, if that's you, I ain't going to be a preacher. I ain't going to do it. He said, God never said another word. So he said, I thought, I'm off the hook. He said, a year later, I'm laying in a hospital, 20-something-year-old young man, and a doctor comes back with a report, I'm sorry, but you only got about 3 weeks left to live. You need to get everything in order. I started crying out to God. God, God, where are you? I'm your son. He said, he spoke to me again. He said, oh, do I have your attention yet? What do you mean, Lord? He said, I called you last year and told you to be one of my preachers, and you flatly told me no. So he said, if you're not going to do what I called you to do, I don't need you. I'm going to cut your tree down. I'm going to kill you. He said, God, you mean my obeying or my disobeying is going to determine whether I live or die? Is that what the word says? If you obey, He will bless you. Is that what He said? If you don't obey, it will make your life short. Is that what He said? He said, Lord, if I preach, can I live? He said, God didn't even speak to me. I said, okay, God, I'll preach. I promise you, I'll go to seminary. I'll preach, Lord. I promise I'll preach your word. He said, Thurman, in 1 hour, I was released from that hospital, and I have never had another sick day. He said, I went to seminary, and that's been 20 years ago. And he said, but let me tell you, I'm still preaching the word. Now, who's in control? the God that we serve, whether you know him or not, he's running the show. You are not running the show. God is running the show, and he's in control. And your long life and prosperity is going to be determined by your obedience and the confession out of your mouth. That's how it's going to happen. Now, if we go around confessing, oh, woe is me, oh, I'm so proud, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. Hey, that's a wrong confession. You need to make sure you're in church, make sure you're tithing, make sure you're giving, make sure you're doing everything that he says there, that you mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is your life. God is your life. And the length of your days. Now then, how many besides me would like to have a long, healthy life? Ooh, I want a long, healthy life. I don't want a short, sick one. I want a long, healthy one. You know, I don't want to be sick and afflicted. So I've learned from this book, if I study this book and obey this book and do what God says in this book, I can live without sickness and disease. Now then, praise God. For the last 25 years, when I learned this, I'll have to say it's been a blessing to be 25 years. In fact, when I look right back there, I look at Sharon, since she was my basket case girl. About 5 years ago, Sharon right here, this girl got her hand up right here, so y'all know who she is. Some of you are new, you don't know who she is. This girl came to me at the ministry with a brain aneurysm or some, whatever it was, with an arm won't work, a hip wouldn't work, allergies, back troubles, and she couldn't even drive a car. And she was about 40 or 45 years old and had to be driven to a healing school. That's the condition she was in. And I told her, if you repent of all your sins, she said, I've been prayed for 100 times, nothing ever happened. I said, you never repented of your sins, you never stood on God's word, and you never had nobody pray for you in faith. So she repented of her sins. I took a scripture, we stood on it, and God healed her completely, totally. And here she is years later, sitting here, and ain't nothing wrong with this girl today. She can run and play. You saw her singing there a while ago and everything, throwing her hands up. She's well. Which way is better, Sharon, being well or sick? This is better. But see, he's no respecter of persons, is he, Sharon? No respecter of persons. Every other day for 23 years. But God's good, isn't he, Ida?
Amen.
He's good. Well, we could talk about all y'all over here and all the different things and the healings and things God's done. You know, Ida, she's another one there, her and her husband, you know, that she stood by faith with breast cancer. We prayed for her. God healed her. And she still went to the doctor and had the surgery. And then there was nothing there. And then her and Ferris come back to church, and they were all upset because now she can't raise her arm. Because she's had the surgery, and I asked the Lord that day. I said, Lord, you know your daughter's heart. She wanted to trust you. He wanted to trust you, but they had never seen these kind of things. So I said, Lord, would you please be merciful and forgive them both, and then would you restore her where she could raise her arm up? I said, Lord, thank you. I said, okay, Ida, raise your arm up. Bet she raised that arm up, and God healed that arm. She had no problem since. Now, see, he's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. I mean, he's a forgiving God. Now, for a girl sitting there in church and can't raise her arm up any higher than this, and we pray a simple prayer, and then all of a sudden, she can raise it straight up. She said, that was the if that went away. She said, that changed my life forever right there. And she ain't never been the same, right, Ida? God is good, isn't he? He's good. He's awesome. Now then, we got through that Deuteronomy. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, starting with verse 1, and we'll go, we got Proverbs 22, 1 through 29. There's a few scriptures in this chapter 22 that doesn't pertain to money, but most of them do. And it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, this whole chapter almost is something to do with money. What does God say the best thing to have first is a good name? If you've got a good name, then you'll have all this other stuff. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. So God made everybody. Now, you're never going to have a place where people are going to all read God's word and obey it, so you're going to have the poor with you forever. He even said that. Isn't that true? I mean, people are not going to believe this word. Some people can read this Bible. That's just like some people. I've had people call me And I spent an hour or 2 hours on the phone with them talking to them about the promises of getting healed. And they say, I believe it. I said, okay, all you got to do now once I pray for you is begin to worship and praise God and then stand on His promises. And 2 hours later, they called back and said, it hadn't happened yet. God must not love me. Sometimes He doesn't do it in 2 minutes, does He? Sometimes He doesn't do it in 2 hours. I mean, when I prayed for Phil up there in the top up there, when I prayed for Phil, yes, I prayed for him in the middle of Sunday afternoon. The next morning, the warts on Phil's fingers were going away. But it took 3 total weeks for all of Phil's warts, which he had hundreds of them. It took 3 weeks for all of his warts to go away. And then it took 1 more week for all the scars where they'd burned them off to go away. But as far as I'm concerned, that's still pretty good, huh? He'd had them for 11 years, and in 4 weeks, he ain't got none of them no more. So, hey, stand on His promises. Worship Him and praise Him every day, and you will see your results. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Verse 3 and 4. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, right now, I hope you're a very prudent person. I hope you're looking at what's going on in the world right now. And I hope you're preparing. Number one, if you've got any debts, any credit card debts, I suggest that you do everything you can to get out of them. I mean, pay them off or something. Don't make any more. Don't buy anything you can't pay for. Don't go out and buy anything you can't pay for. I'm telling you that this country that we live in, when you begin to see what's happening already, the judgment of God is coming upon this nation, and it's going to be far worse. I believe within the next year or two, we will see the most devastating things happen in this country you have ever seen in your life. I think it's going to be something. But the prudent man, the man and woman of God, is paying attention to the Word of God, and they're preparing to walk holy in obedience to God's Word and do what the King says. And the King says, just like Jack said there a while ago, he's in the business of, I don't know what old business he's in, but obviously they build things or whatever. He said, when God brings this judgment, it's good for my business. He said, when buildings get tore up and all this kind of stuff, He said, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. It comes to me. Well, now see, that is true. That's the way it happens. The wicked have trouble hanging on to their dollars. But God will put men like Jack or any other man or woman out there that His servants, that He will use them to help people do things, and they'll have to pay Him to get it done. So they'll lose money and He'll get rich. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, did God promise to bless you if you obey Him? I mean, it doesn't make any difference if devastation comes upon America. We don't have to be a partaker of it. I'm going to walk in blessing. I don't care what happens. I'm going to be blessed. My food is not going to run out. I'm going to say, I mean, if Jesus could take a couple of little loaves of bread and a couple of little fishes and can feed 5,000 men and all their wives and all their kids, probably 20,000 people, if He can do that, if I got one can of tuna fish left, that can of tuna fish ain't never going to run out. If I got one can of chicken left, that can ain't never going to run out, because I ain't going to go by what I see. If I come down and I say, oh my gosh, this is the last can of chicken. Oh, we open this, we eat this, and then we die. No, that ain't my confession. My confession is, Lord, it appears this is the last can of chicken we got. But I know You can make that can of chicken. We're going to open that, put it in the refrigerator, put it in a bowl, and we're going to dip out of that every day, and we're going to eat, and I believe that bowl ain't never going to go dry in the name of Jesus. Now, what did the King say we could have? Whatever we say with our mouth, if we believe it with our heart. And then somebody says, well, you know, my goodness gracious, you what do you got to eat? I said, I got one bowl of chicken in there. Well, we got 5 of us. I said, come on in, no problem. We fix y'all right up. So I come in there, I said, let me give you a big helping. I dip that, and I said, well, there ain't much left. I said, let me dip you out some. I dip it out, and I go, and I dip it out, and when I dip it out, and I dip it out, when everybody's got a big helping of chicken, and I said, hey, my bowl hadn't gone down any. I still got a bowl full. Now, is that possible for this to happen to us as children of God? Absolutely. If your confession is there, God, if he did it for Jesus, he'll do it for you. But if your confession is, oh, God, that's the last can of chicken we got. When we eat that, I know we're just going to die. I ain't going to share it with nobody else. Don't let none of these other Christians come over to my house, because I ain't going to give you no groceries, because I may run out. Now, that's a wrong confession. Did he tell us to help the brothers in Christ?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because some of us are going to have more faith than others. We're obedient. We ain't going to turn you away. If we got a can of chicken left, we're going to feed them. If you ain't got none and we got some, we're going to feed you. And we ain't going to never run out, because his word makes us that promise. So we're going to stand on it. He says, but by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. Who? What? If you're humble. Humble yourself before God, and you have a fear of God, knowing that he's God. And when he says, you obey me, what do you do? Say, well, God, I ain't going to obey you today. I'll wait till tomorrow. No. When he says, obey me, what do you do? Yes, Lord. If the Lord says, son, I want you to jump over that fence right there. You say, Lord, okay, look, let me jump over it. If you say, want me to jump, how high, Lord? How high? Let me just start jumping. And maybe I'll jump high enough. But whatever he tells you and me to do in these days, we need to obey. You know, don't start questioning him, whatever. If he tells you to do something, do it. Now, the reason I can say these kind of things is because many times God has told me to do something and I argued with him. You know, now, I know none of y'all are like me. You know, you would never do nothing like that. God tells you to turn off somewhere, to go somewhere. I mean, you just don't even ask no questions. You just go. No, you're probably just like me. You've argued with him, too, a few times. You give that man that money, Joseph. See? Now, some of us would say, oh, God, that's the last $5 bill I got. You know? You see? Is that what we do? Sure. The Lord said, give that man that money. You know? And you'll say, I rebuke you, devil. That couldn't be God. He wouldn't tell me to give that old guy that money. Look at that old guy, you know. That he's a Mexican, you know. We look at everything in the world to not give somebody something because of their color, their nationality, or whatever. That should never be a factor. Who made all of us?
God.
Does it make any difference what color you are? No. God made every one of us. It makes no difference. It don't make it what country you're from, what creed you are. God made everybody. And he loves us all. And if you got money and he tells you to bless somebody with that money, you just obey. And when he does, you notice what Joseph said? When he gave him that $10, he got a $112 tip the next day. And when he just blessed him out of his own the next day with a $5 one, he got a $56 tip. Did you notice that?
Yep.
He gave him half and he got half back. Now, which would have been better, if he'd have gave him a 10 and got another 112? Hey, the Lord, it's amazing what God does when we obey him. But anyway, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, I like all of those, don't you? I like all of those. Okay, 5 and 6. Let's see what it says. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. Now, I don't like that. How many of you have ever tried to get out at night? Now, I was raised up in the country. And there used to be some real bushes down where I used to live called stinging nettles. Anybody ever say, Ann's over shaking her, she sees some of those. If there's anything you don't want to do, you don't want Dad to tell you to go get the cow up after dark, and you try to walk through the pasture without a flashlight with them stinging nettles. All you got to do is get into one of them, ooh, and you don't want to get into that. But he says, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. This is going to happen to you. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. Then look what he says in verse 7. Now, I've heard this in Proverbs 22:6. I've heard this quoted every way in the world. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. And you ask people, what does that mean? Well, you know, they give you every kind of thing in the world. But you know what this entire chapter of 22 is talking about? Money. Money. It's not talking about anything else. Chapter 22 is talking about money. So when, if he's talking about money and everything, when he says train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, he's talking about teaching your children about handling money. Lots of people never train their children about how to handle money. They give them a credit card when they get 16. And you know what happens? You give a kid, I don't care whose it is, mine, anybody else's, you give them a credit card when they're 16, and I'm going to guarantee if you put a $1,000 limit on it, it won't be 3 months, so that kid will be $1,000 in debt because they don't see having to pay that thing off. It happens. That's the worst thing you can do for a 16-year-old is give them a credit card. Don't do it. Not unless you got a lot of money. And then you want to pay, because you're definitely going to be training them wrong. You want to teach a child how to maintain a budget. You want to teach them, number one, you want to teach them to be all the money that they give. If you give your children an allowance for working or doing chores around the house, if you want to train them up in that way, when you give them that, you need to tell them that 10% of that goes to the Lord. Somewhere they need to give that to God. They need to see God start moving at a young age in their life. And if they don't do it God's way, they won't ever see God do anything. He will not bless you just because you're the pastor's son or daughter. He's going to bless you because you obey his word. Verse 7 and 8. The rich rules over the poor, and the bar is servant to the lender. Is that the way it is?
Yep.
It sure is. The rich rule over the poor. Now then, can you be rich and not rule over the poor as a Christian? You sure you can? Yeah. In other words, whenever they come, did you know there's something else that the average person, nobody ever told me this, and I didn't know this until much later in life, but it says in the book of Psalms that if I want to dwell in the sanctuary of God, I can't charge my brother interest. Do you know that? I've taught on that since I found that. But you know, as a Christian, if you loan your brother or sister in Christ money, you cannot charge them interest. Now, you can charge them, but if you do, while you're doing it, you will not be able to dwell in the sanctuary of God. Now, you'll be able to come to church, but you will not be able to dwell with him. Your blessings are not going to be there because you're charging your brother interest. And God says you can't do that. Then he says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod and his anger shall fail. Verse 9 and 10. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. In other words, can you see prosperity everywhere you look? I mean, do you have a bountiful eye? Can you think, wow, you know, if I had that, man, I could make some money with that. You know, I could do this, I can do that. You just see ways to make money. You know, it's amazing when you take a man or a woman that can just see those kind of things, say, man, you know, I can take this, I can do that. And those people, a lot of people, you know, they don't ever see this kind of stuff. They're always talking, you know, poverty. It seems like that's all they can talk about, is poverty. Oh, I'm so, you know, out of money. I can't make it. Well, that's a wrong confession. If you obey God and do what he says, I guarantee the day will come, he will bless you. Now, for a lot of us want to do it, we want to do it like Joseph got it. We want to give $10 a day and this afternoon get a $112 tip. And it don't always work like that, does it, Joseph?
No, it don't work.
It don't work like that all the time. Sometimes you give that and it may be a month or two later. And you've even forgot giving the guy the money. And one day a tip just comes in for $100. And you think, wow, what a blessing. And God says, oh, that's my blessing for back yonder. You know, he keeping good records. You know that? And if you don't give, it ain't going to come back to you. But that's what you have to do. Then he says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Well, that scorner, we need to get rid of him because all he's got is bad stuff. We don't want him around us. We want to get past him. Verse 11 and 12. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Now, if you have pureness of heart, the king is going to be your friend. Now, if the king, King Jesus, is your friend, what can you get from him when you ask him for something?
Anything.
That's exactly right. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. Well, I don't want to be a transgressor, that's for sure. 13 and 14. This slothful man saith, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Now, that's about the poorest excuse for not going to work I ever heard in my life. I can't get up and go out there this morning. I might get bit by a snake. There ain't a snake nowhere in this country that'll bite you. Well, he might just be out today. I can't go down there because I might get run over by a lion. I can't go to town. I might have a wreck. If you're walking in obedience to God's word and doing what he says, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing can touch you. That's bad. You know that? He's going to watch over you. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He's talking about a prostitute here. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. In other words, just think what God just said there. There's a prostitute out here or a whore out here somewhere, and you're not going to serve God. He's going to make sure you get attached to her. That's what that said. Isn't that something? The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit, and he that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. You're going to fall in her house. Just think, you know what happens when a man gets involved with a prostitute or a whore? He comes down with a venereal disease. And then he dies young. And he says, if you die there, you shall go to the pit. The grave. It'll kill you. It's amazing what's all in this book and how many people don't believe these things. Verse 15 and 16. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Is it? Absolutely. I mean, to some adults, it's still there because they never had it driven out of them when they were a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. In other words, since we're talking about money in this whole chapter, if you tell your children, don't go out and spend money foolishly, and they go out and spend it foolishly, when they get home, you take a rod and beat their little backside. I mean, you lay it on them. Did I tell you not to go buy that? I meant what I said. I mean, drive the foolishness from them. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. And a lot of people don't want to give to the poor. I mean, who wants to give that old guy, you know? But you take some guy come in that's got more than he needs, and he's got money running out his ears. He'd say, let's go to lunch. Say, sure, I'll buy you lunch today. I want to make you feel good. Have you seen people like that? Oh, yeah, me too. I've seen them. They want to take the rich man to lunch. Why do they want to take him to lunch? Because they think maybe he'll take them to a better place and spend more money on them, see? You know? In fact, I did something real nice for a man and his wife one time years ago. This lady was trying to get a computer set up, and she didn't know how to. She wanted a computer to run her household budget. Computers were fairly new back in those days, and so I had a little software package I liked, and I told her, I said, let me bring it over and show it to you. So I brought it over there on. She had a laptop, and I put it on her laptop, and I was showing her how it worked. And I said, now, you know, I don't want to pry into your personal business here, so I'll just put in a fictitious amount to set this thing up. You can come back later and edit it. She said, no. Let's put the real numbers in it as we go. I don't want to have to come back and edit it. I said, well, okay. What do you think you spend per year on your household budget? She said, oh, about $250,000. I thought, household budget, $250,000? That's so far above me. I said, wow. I didn't say nothing, though. I just acted cool, you know. I didn't want her to know. But anyway, I put the numbers in there and taught her how to use the program. And she says, my husband and I want to take you and your wife to dinner for showing us how to do all this stuff. I said, okay, you know. And so she said, if you would meet us tomorrow evening at 6 at a certain place over in North Dallas. I thought, what's that? So we met downstairs there, and it was a humongous giant hotel with a great big restaurant on the top. We went up to that restaurant and sat down in there, and I guess I swallowed my tongue when I looked at the menu. He said, that's okay, Thurman. Anything you want, I'm paying for it. There was nothing on that menu less than $65. Nothing. I thought, good grief. But see, God blessed me because I didn't do it for them to try to get something from them. I was not going to charge them a dime, you know. I knew from the house they lived in they had to be very well off. But I never dreamed that they were going to take us out to dinner and spend that kind of money. I know before we got through that dinner that night, everybody there, I know the bill was over $400-something for four people for one meal. Now, that's extravagant. Yeah, I can't go there. Don't ever ask me to take you to dinner and expect I'm going to take you down here to Mom's Cafe for $6. I'm tight with my money. I don't spend it like that. But I'm not going to oppress the poor. I'll take you down there and feed you and give you a good meal, but I may not spend $100 to do it. Now, spending six or eight, that's okay. But he shall surely come to want. Well, I don't want to come to want. Verse 17 and 18. Bow down thine ear and hear the word of the wise, and apply your heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee, you shall withal be fitted in your lips. Bow down your ear and hear the words of the wise. Well, if we will bow down, who is the wise one really that we need to hear? It's God. It's the Lord. That's right. Let's go to the next couple of verses there. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge. Now, did he give us excellent things? Has he given us good counsel? Yes, when you get a hold of the fact that this book is the book that you're going to live by, when you get this in your spirit, you will study this book in detail, and then you'll begin to believe it. Now let's go to the next couple of verses. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee, rob not the poor, because he is poor, neither oppressed afflicted in your gate. Now, he's telling you, rob not the poor. If people don't have money and they're having trouble meeting their bills, whatever you do, don't steal money from those kind of people. Help those kind of people. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, then, verse 23 and 24. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. In other words, if you spoil them, do you think God could do a better job of spoiling you than you could spoiling them? I don't want him on my case, do you? No, I don't want God taken away from me. He says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. I mean, these are people that you need to stay away from. 25 and 26. Lest you should learn his ways. Why do you need to stay away from that guy?
You don't become like him.
That devil will get off of him on you, that's for sure. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands or of them that are sureties for debt. Now then, if you shake hands with somebody, if you're a Christian, is that a binding?
Yes, it is.
For a Christian, it is. I mean, if you tell somebody, I'm going to do something for you, I'm going to give you $50, I don't have it on me right now, but I'll bring it to you tomorrow, I'm going to shake hands on you so that you know that I'm for real. I'm going to bring you that $50 tomorrow. And if I shake hands with you and I'm a Christian, I'm bound by God to do what I said. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm bound. I'm supposed to be one. And so if you shake hands with somebody, you're going to pay a debt for them, you better have the money. If you don't, God's not going to be happy with you. 27 and 28. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? But there's some people that'll do that, won't they? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, lots of people do that when it comes to, in fact, when I bought this farm right here, I had this surveyed. I always buy a survey. So when I had this surveyed, the steel pins were about a foot over on the other side of my neighbor's fence down there. He was an old man. He's since moved and died and everything else. But 30 years ago, he was still going pretty strong. But when they put the stakes over there, naturally, so I'd know where the stake was. I went over where the stake was, dug a hole, and put a 2-inch steel post and set it in concrete. Because I wanted to make sure that I knew where those things were. I wasn't going to move the fence, but I did put the post there. One day I come down there, and he had run over that post with some kind of a tractor or something, and he'd bent that post over. He tried everything, but he couldn't pull it up because, boy, I really put it in the ground. I mean, it was there. But he had run over it, bent it, and everything else. But did that change the survey? No. I mean, even if I hadn't put it there, the survey is where it was. And if I sold it, I'm going to sell the survey. I bought the survey, and so that's the way it's going to be. The Lord tells us, don't move a landmark. You know, you're not supposed to do that. Wherever it's supposed to be, that's where it's supposed to be. Verse 29, this is the last one on this one. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. In other words, if you're going to be a man and you're going to be in business, you need to be a diligent man, a woman, either one. If you're going to be in business, you need to be diligent at what you do. You need to let people know that you're a person of God, that you can be trusted. And what really gets me is the men and women today that say they're Christians that'll take you to the cleaners. You'll find them in a Christian phone book or whatever, and then when you get them, you can't trust them. They still, that's really something. You know what that tells me about those people? They're not really Christians. You know, they're liars. That's absolutely right. Now then, let's go to Luke, one last verse, and let's go to Luke 6:38. And this is the final on this, on what you have to do to be prosperous. Now, there's a lot of things in God's Word about being prosperous. But this is one of the major ones. In other words, he told us a lot of things there in Proverbs chapter 22, what we needed to do if we want to be prosperous. But right here, this is the final one in Luke 6:38. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this. When I first got started in this ministry, I mean, we didn't take in a lot of money at all, but I still gave away a lot of stuff. We went down to Gateway Church, and they asked me to speak at a conference down there. Well, they told me I could have one corner of one table in the room there where they sell the tapes. I said, man, that's not going to be nowhere close to enough room. I got lots of stuff. She said, well, sir, we got several speakers, and we have to kind of split it up. And she said, I said, well, how about if I put them outside? Well, she said, well, we can never keep up with getting the money for them. I said, oh, I don't charge for them. She said, you don't charge for your tapes? I said, no, I give them away. Wow. Okay. So we put 3 or 4 tables out there, and we just heaped those tables up with stuff and put free media. And I'm telling you, there was, I don't know, maybe a couple of thousand people there. They cleaned off my tables. We had to come back to the ministry center and get everything we had in stock and take it back there, and they cleaned them off again. Now, somebody said, now, that don't make no sense. That don't make no sense at all. You gave everything away. You gave away thousands of dollars worth of stuff, and you didn't get a dime back. But that next month in this ministry was the biggest month on giving. Now, where that money come from, I don't even have a clue. But there was more money coming to this ministry that month than had ever came back into this ministry in any one month in my life. Now, there was only one other time, and again, the first time I was asked to speak at Gateway down in Grapevine. I went down there, and Cheryl and I had just gotten married. We just been married, and she come in late that night, and of course it started at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I got up early that morning to go, and I didn't wake her up. And so when she woke up and found me gone, she like passed out. She thought, Thurman has run off without me. She didn't know what I was trying to be a good husband, let her sleep in, see. So, but she got there, late. When I got there from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I spoke. They had a 15-minute lunch break, which I didn't get to eat because everybody's asking me questions. So from 9 to 2, 5 hours, I spoke to a group of about 100 people at that church. They asked me how much I charge for this. I told them, I do not charge. It's free. I just come and speak. So when I got ready to leave, people started handing me checks. When I got home, out of that five-hour teaching, I had $5,000 in my pocket. $5,000 for 5 hours. So I turned around and gave $4,000 of it to other ministries. I kept $1,000 and gave four away. Now, is that a pretty good tithe?
Yes.
Would you say that's a little above and beyond a tithe?
Awesome.
But let me tell you what God did for me that month. That was at the beginning of the month. I got $5,000 for 5 hours of teaching, give $4,000 of it away, and the next 30 days, $40,000 came to this ministry in 30 days. Now, when God puts that scripture on the board up there, give, and it should be given to you. You think the king means what he says? He means what he says. Now, I could have been the good guy and gave 500 of that away and kept 4,500. And then I could have been like Joseph, you know, and only got a little dinky reward the second day. But isn't it amazing? Of course, God knew what I was going to do with the money in the ministry. Of course, I used it to buy equipment and pay other stuff. I don't keep that money for myself. I use it for the ministry. Everything that comes in, we use it for the ministry somehow, some way, or we buy things for other people. But that's what it's all about. I didn't think you're supposed to keep the money. You're supposed to pass it on. Is that right?
Right.
It's not going to do anything. You know what's going to happen one of these days for those people that have hoarded up the money? They're going to tell you, well, we've done away with the American dollar.
Like script.
Yeah, it's like script. I mean, it and monopoly money is worth about the same thing, you know. Paper does. Yeah, that's right. You know, and that could be very well what happened. And I think about whenever the stock market crashes and people go nuts and, you know, think I've lost billions. Well, hey, it's only paper. It's only money, you know. I mean, yeah, if you got a bunch of it, you can buy anything you want. But the more junk you get, the more stuff you got to keep up with. And the more junk you got, the more storehouses you got to have to store it all. Is that true?
Yes.
Now, America, we are a grace of nation, a people that's been so blessed with so many things. I drove down to Keller Saturday morning to do something. And as I drove down there, I had no idea on 377 the number of warehouses, storage bins they have down there for motor homes and boats. I mean, there was hundreds of them out there. I thought, wow, are these people blessed? Them motorhomes, some of them out there cost $200,000 and $300,000 sitting underneath those sheds.
Not now.
Huh?
Not now.
Well, I mean, they're a lot of money. I'll say that. They cost a lot of money. You know, but we have been so blessed. But if you got that stuff and you can't afford to buy gas for it now, you know, of course, now, thank goodness, gas has come back down. I will have to say. God is blessing us. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know something's going to happen. But I will say that you need to be that prudent Christian man or woman. Get out of debt. Make sure you're giving into the kingdom. Make sure you're blessing those that God tells you to bless. When he tells you to give somebody something, give it to them. Whatever you do, make sure wherever you go to church, make sure you tithe. Give the Lord at least 10% of your income. And if you want to be blessed on 10%, that's okay. If you want to be blessed on 15 or 20%, that's even better. As I have given, like I just told you, that day when I got that $5,000 for 5 hours and give $4,000 of it away, in the next 30 days, he returned to this ministry $40,000. I had never been blessed with that much money in 1 month in my entire life. But I had never given away that big a chunk either. You know, I had never stepped out in faith and had a $5,000 amount of money come in 1 day and then give away $4,000. But you know the way I kind of looked at that? God, I used to work a whole week as an engineer for $1,000. And today I went and spoke for 5 hours and got $1,000 that I kept for the ministry and give away $4,000. But as an engineer, I never made $5,000 in 5 hours, never in my life. It never happened. But with God, is he restricted to how much he can give you? No. No. I mean, he can bless you. I mean, I had a man one time that was so blessed, this man from up in the Northeast, And he was so blessed with this ministry when he got a hold of it, he got to listen to it, and found out. And he went to a Catholic church, and he said, nobody ever told me about tithing. Nobody ever told me about healing. None of these things about praying. And after about 6 or 8 months or a year, whatever it was, this guy called me one day and said, I'm going to send you some stock. I said, okay. So he sent me, had it transferred to put in our name, and sent it to this ministry. And I got this stock certificate. And when I first got it, I thought it was one of them bogus letters. I almost threw it away. I did put it in a bottom drawer. Didn't even open it. I just thought the envelope was in. And finally, one day, I got some dividends from this stock. And for a quarter, it was like $400-something for the dividends. And I called the people. I said, the Living Savior Ministries doesn't have any stock in your company. She said, yes, you do. I said, well, if we do, I don't know it. She said, well, a man, she said the man's name. I said, oh, he transferred this into your name. I thought, oh, okay, I do know that guy. I thought, oh, my goodness. She said, you have the stock certificates. We sent them to you. I said, what? And so I called Cheryl. I said, Cheryl, honey, I don't know what I'd know them stock certificates. So she started going through my drawers and everything in my desk, and she found them. Now, they weren't worth very much, only $52,000. Isn't that something? Now, what can God bless you with if you're obedient? Hey, ain't no problem. God can bless you with $5,000 or $50,000 or $500,000 or $5 million if he wants to, if you're going to use it for his glory. Now, he's not going to give the individual person that kind of money, because you know what you would do if you had $5 million? You'd probably make a fool out of yourself. You know, nearly all of us would. You know, I know what my wife would do if she had $5 million. She'd go buy some more shoes. Oh, this girl's got more shoes. I kid her about her shoes. She wears a new pair every day. Every day. But she gets them cheap. She gets them on eBay. I'll have to say that. Now then, she's going to she's going to talk to you about Christ Haven one more time.
Tell them how they can be blessed.
She's going to tell you all how you can be blessed. There you go. Well, that's no two ways about it. You know, those little children at Christ Haven. In fact, I think I'm right. I may not be wrong. Honey, I believe you were over in here in a store in Lewis and Justin or something the other day with all kinds of baskets. And didn't a lady walk up and say, what are you doing? And you told her. And she said, well, I'll pay for that basket. Didn't she take a whole basket?
She paid for a toy.
Okay. So
not a basket, but a toy.
Oh, okay. Only a toy. Okay. I thought she paid for a whole basket. Yeah. Yeah.
Paying for a toy was good.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, people have blessed her with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. We were in Kohl's a few days back, and a Kohl's employee walked up and said, I understand you're doing some things for children. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, we have 112 children and 27 battered women that we're buying for. And so she said, well, gosh, I want to give you some money. So she handed me a $20 bill. I said, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah. So
we're doing good. I've spent about $15,000 so far. I've almost got all of Open Arms bought. I need like about 30 gift cards for them. That's really all I have left for them to finish them. And then I have about maybe a third of Christ Haven's bought. So if you have anything that you'd like to give, we're running everything through the ministry. Just make your check out TLSM and notate on the check that it's for the Christ Haven or for the children, and we'll get it. And if you want to see, I brought the book out today. It's on the back table there of last year. It's all the years, but it shows all the pictures last year. Joseph and Lori are there, and Keith and Lynette Capellan, and there's some pictures of Ty and Cheryl in there. Different, and John Wallace, he's there. He gave one young man this punching bag last year, and when he's opening it, his daughter's got her mouth squealing, you know, as the little boy's opening it up, but... and he's still in the system. A lot of them are there. We've been doing this. This is the seventh year. We've raised a total in the past 6 years of $218,000, and a lot of it has come through the church, and we appreciate it. But if you can do anything, if you have any used clothing or furniture, anything you want to give, go ahead and bring it up here. And if you want to contribute money, it's great, because I get 30% off at Kohl's and I get 10% off at Walmart. I did a really silly thing. Friday, Black Friday. I got up at 4:30 thinking, oh, I was going to get all these great deals. Got to Walmart and Grapevine at 5:30, and I needed a GPS and some portable DVD players, and they were really, you know, great deals. And I said, okay, where do you go? And they said, go to customer service, site to store. And I said, okay. So I start heading that way. And now the parking lot's completely full. You have to park way in the back. And I said, okay, where's the line? And they said, oh, all the way out the front door. I said, I think I'll forget about that. I'll just go do some other shopping. And then I did my other shopping, and then they ended up not giving me my discount because it was Black Friday. And I just went, oh, heck, whatever. I got the shopping done, so that was great. And then I come home and make a deposit at the bank, and I notice, oh, the Walmart in Roanoke, it's not very busy. So when I get to the house, I call them back, and I said, do y'all have any GPSs? And she said, oh, yeah, no DVD players, but that was okay. So I drive back up there and get my GPS, walk right in, get it, don't have to stand in any line. So it all worked out, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not getting up early to go shop again. I don't mind staying up late and shopping. I can do that. But anyway, I just went to Kohl's. Christy and I went there yesterday to finish up the women for the for Open Arms. And anyway, when I bought $2,000 worth, and with the no tax and the 30% off, it came down to $1,300. So that was really good.
Amen.
Yeah. So God's good. So please give. Continue to give because this is a way to get a blessing.
Amen.
You give and you get blessed.
Give and it shall be given.
And thank you to everybody who's already helped. I appreciate the ones that have already given me money. I thank you for that.
And just make sure that if you do give to the children, if you give a check and put it over there, make sure you write on the bottom corner, children. So sure, we'll get it to the right place. So otherwise, it goes to the ministry, you know, and we pay the ministry bills out of it. So yeah, as long as you get it in there, you know, we'll make sure you know what that is. So, and like I said before, if you bring furniture, clothing, or anything like that for these people, for these ladies or this stuff, please do not bring wore-out junk. You know, remember that these people, you're a Christian. You're not giving this to these people. You're giving this to your God. So, you know, don't give him junk because he don't like it. You know. Yeah, without spot or blemish. I mean, there have been several places where he really got on them when they brought him sick sheep, sick goats, and all that kind of stuff. And he really said, you think I'm going to bless you when you bring this to me? Well, he didn't. And so, you know, like David said, he said, I will never give God anything that don't cost me something. And that's kind of the way I look at it. We need to give the Lord our best. So when you give him something, that's good. But anyway, for those of you that might be new here and don't know, all the media is free. You can take whatever you want. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there is a box over there that you can give. We do not take up an offering here. If you need to be prayed for anything, today we talk very little about healing, but we're still in the praying business. So, you know, we're here to pray for you if you have a problem, whatever the need is. And Eldon and Nancy up here on the front row, they'll be here too. Sharon, she's here. Rosemary's here. Any one of us that are here, God answers all of our prayers. So, oh, you want to say something? Okay, we got a little young in here that wants to say something. So praise the Lord. Hand him.
Always remember to praise Jesus.
Amen. Always remember to praise Jesus. That's good information. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for these beautiful children that love you. And, Lord, we thank you that we're all your children here and we all love you. And, Lord, we have a need here. Some of us have needs. And, Lord, we ask you to meet those needs as we pray for those people. And, Lord, as we go through this wonderful season that we've just been through, the Thanksgiving, we're so grateful. Lord, when you said it's much better to be able to give than to receive, Lord, I see that. I'm so grateful that I have no needs, that you know, that you've met all of my financial needs, that everything I have is paid for. I don't have a single payment except utilities. And, Lord, I'm thankful that I have the money coming in from my retirement and everything to pay my utilities every month without a problem. I'm so grateful, Lord, for the blessings that everybody blesses us with here at the ministry. I'm thank you for all the people that work with us and are around us. I ask you to bless every one of them in a mighty way. And, Lord, we're so grateful for this Thanksgiving season because we know it all comes from you. Everything, our health, our long life, everything comes from you. Our prosperity, you are the one that either blesses us or curses us according to our willingness to obey you. Lord, you told us today clearly that you've called heaven and earth as record against us, that if we will serve you, you'll bless us. If we will not, you will curse us. And, Lord, I thank you for showing us that in the Word, So, Lord, thank you for helping us to walk holy and obedient to your word so we can walk in long days in blessings and good health, us and our children. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.